chest up, eyes up, abs tight, set the hips.
There was no negotiation, to be perfectly honest with you.
Like a fighter pilot, you know, I got your six.
He's got these two animals running at him every single play.
That's a pretty dadgum tall task right now.
Welcome to USA Football's Coach and Coordinator Podcast. My name is Chris Sharp, and I'm your host for this week's highlight show. The Coach and Coordinator Podcast is here to help you lead the next generation of football players. Whether it is a tutorial on implementing new schemes, leadership seminars, or ongoing trends in football, our channel is a resource for you. On Monday, your host Keith Grabowski spoke with Sonny Cortland's special teams coordinator and tight ends coach, Jake Spalik. Coach Spalik's unit led Division III football in both block kicks and block punts last season. Hear Coach Spalik's techniques for blocking punts and kicks, the key to avoiding penalties on special teams, and the art of returning a block kick on this week's episode.
Right. So for our edge rush guy, we're going to line him up real tight and make sure that he's getting a good jump off the ball, obviously, but line him up real tight. Make sure he's aiming for the outside shoulder of that wing. We have a Sam who's just inside our edge blocker. He is going to stress the gap in between the wing and the tight end, just making sure he's staying tight as well to that inside shoulder of the tight end to make it difficult on that wing, really stress that wing. And that Sam has to trust, like we talked about, J.J. Pascal on that defensive end, really smashing that D lineman. And so we'll line up that defensive end outside leverage, and we'll just have him take that D end down into the gap, really widen that gap for our Sam, and then shorten that edge for our edge blocker as well. On the inside, you know, we're just trying to create penetration with our nose and our other defensive end so that we can get Travis, our 6'7" tackle, some room in there to get up and you know, try to cause a middle block, obviously. But that's just a little bit of what we do on the block team.
So when you're coaching up that guy, to especially the guy who's coming off the edge, because that's a lot of times where you see the roughing penalties. Usually the guy who's coming up the middle, he's either getting it or somehow got blocked, but you'll see, you know, that guy come in off the edge, roll into the kicker or the holder, whatever it might be. What's the coaching point to be able to avoid those penalties?
Yep, we want to make sure we stay tight at all times to that wing. Make sure we're bending. We'll work a drill in pre-practice where we practice bending around a cone and make sure that, as opposed to approaching the kicker, you know, we're staying more flat and make sure we got two hands out there as opposed to one, just increasing our block radius. And again, staying more flat and really bending that edge as hard as we can. Dipping that inside shoulder certainly helps to allow ourselves to stay more flat, something that I know a lot of receivers will use as well, you know, when they're utilizing a speed cut, right, on some kind of in or out. So really dipping that inside shoulder, bending hard as we can, and staying flat so we avoid those roughing calls.
Now, on a block kick, there is really an opportunity here to return that thing. When you think about it, there's a lot of big men on the field who aren't necessarily out there for their ability to run and tackle. So what are you coaching up in terms of what to do after that kick and how do you practice that?
Right. Well, we have designated scoop and score guys on both sides. So away from the kick, we have a guy that's just responsible for the scoop and score. So making sure he gets to the proper depth and we work that those scoop and score drills. But making sure he gets the proper depth on the opposing or on the same side of the block, we have what we call a late scoop and score guy. So he'll be man to man on the wing. If the wing stays in, you know, once the ball is kicked, you know, he'll become that late scoop and score in case for, you know, any ricochet or anything like that that works back towards where the block is coming from. But, you know, that's probably the biggest emphasis is just teaching that scoop and score guy every single play. Can't get lazy. Got to get to the right depth. I think they did a great job of that all year. And like I said, you know, with our field goal block, we did block some field goals, but we blocked a lot of extra points. And these guys understand the importance of even that one point, how important that is in the grand scheme of things.
We continued our All In on Offense series on Tuesday. Gonzaga College High School's offensive coordinator and quarterback coach, Danny Schechter, joined the podcast. With over 14 years of coaching experience, Coach Schechter has seen a lot of offensive schemes and variations. Here are his thoughts on the proper footwork for quarterbacks and running backs on each and every snap.
So, with the quarterback,
you know, we just use the hands on the clock. So, you know, it's mandated on power. We want to give the running back the A gap. So when the quarterback drives out from under center, he needs to drive out at 6 o'clock. And of course, the best way to work that is working tracks, the backs every single day. In the shotgun, the biggest thing for the quarterback is making sure, once again, he stays at 6 o'clock. So when he catches the ball and goes to hand it to the running back, you know, he's got to more turn his body. He can't step all the way into the running back because he has to give the running back the A gap. And really, you know, we do, you know, 6 o'clock, we explode out. You want to seat the ball in your belly. And then we do a two-hand show, you know, got it from Dub and NFA, you know, with the two-hand show, because it really helps with the play action portion with the snap and the sell of it when you go with the two-hand show. As far as the running back goes, we use a slide step. So if I'm the running back and I'm in the I formation and wearing power to the right, what I'm going to do is I'm going to patiently drive off my left foot and take a side step, and then boom, I'm landing on my right foot and I'm keeping my belly button and eyes in the A gap. And same thing is going to happen in the shotgun. No matter which side the running back is on, you know, we put our heels on the toes of the quarterback so the running back can sidestep and get himself in position in the A gap with square shoulders. That's one of the biggest things that we emphasize, is having, you know, square toes and square shoulders, because it's hard for a running back to hit it in the A gap if he's turned or if he's displaced himself out of the A gap. It's hard to fall back in on that one. So when that A gap is open, you better be square and you better be able to hit it, because it can close up quick and it's basically impossible to go from B gap and falling back into the play.
Now, Coach, at times the Will linebacker is going to scrape over the top of that combination, sometimes too soon. What coaching points do you have, especially for that young running back? I know for us, it was always, guys, there's no cutback on this. But then we would teach them to start to see that later, because we wanted them coming downhill. We didn't want them thinking cut back, but then we would have to start to account for and teach that variation. How do you handle that?
Yep, so we would try and kind of like you, hey, we're hitting this A gap to B gap to inside hip of the pulling guard. And then once they've learned, hey, we're not bouncing it, and you know, this is the rules that I'm following, then we were teaching them, hey, this is when we can really hit that cutback. It's going to usually be, you know, be just beyond, you know, just through that line of scrimmage, and that the Mike linebacker is going to kind of tell you if that cutback is going to open up or not. If he's scraping, then there's going to be something, you know, another defender scraping with him. You know, kind of like a fighter pilot, you know, I got your six. So if that Mike scrapes, you know, be ready for that cutback to possibly be hitting. Whereas if he's plugging it, then, you know, then there's not as likely a big a likelihood, because there's not going to be another scraper coming.
On Wednesday, we continued Joel Nels' home team series. This week we had Jake Moreland, the offensive coordinator at Western Michigan University. He discussed the factors that come into play when he and his family consider new job opportunities.
You kind of addressed the next part, or already that part, with your kids, and I think that you're right. You know, at a certain age, you do need to take their input. But when you and your wife have sat down and talked about jobs, what are things that you evaluate together before making that decision? Like, what are some things that maybe, it could be at the high school level, it could be at the college level. What are some things, you know, that guys may want to look out for as you and your wife discuss? Like, hey, should we go here? Should we not? Should we stay? You know, those sort of situations.
Yeah, I mean, the very first thing that we look at, right, wrong, or indifferent, you know, we talk about the financial aspect. You know, is this a good move for us financially? You know, are we going to be able to do what we need to do and make sure that we're providing what we need to provide for the girls from a financial aspect? And once that kind of gets locked in, and we're like, yeah, we feel like this can probably work and this can probably be good, then we start inspecting other things, such as, you know, what kind of stability are we going into? you know, what does this look like? Has, you know, is this guy rolling through, you know, offensive coordinators, or is he rolling through offensive line coaches? You know, this guy's fired three offensive line coaches in 3 years. I don't know that maybe that's not a great move. Maybe that's not a great sign, you know, right. Things like that. I think now to me, you know, stability is a big deal. You know, one of my apprehensions to getting into coaching was the fact that everybody that you talk to had moved their family 20 times, you know, in 25 years. And I don't want to do that. You know, I don't. And I've been very fortunate where I haven't had to move around a whole lot, which has been great, I think, for our family dynamic. But so, yeah, we look at financial. I want to know about the stability. I really want to know about the staff, you know. And so when I go out, you know, when I've gone on interviews and things like that, you know, you get a feel for the staff and you get a feel for the guys and things like that. And so these are all things that I'm kind of reporting back to my wife, like, hey, this is what I'm feeling. This is what I think, you know, and, you know, those things. And then we start really getting into the, okay, where could we live and where are the best schools? You know, what does this all look like? Are we, you know, and so does it, if we can make sense of those kind of top three or four things, I think, and things all look good, then we kind of proceed with, yeah, this would be a really good opportunity for us.
A linebacker in the NFL and at Ohio State, Anthony Schlegel combined his skills on the field and his efforts in the weight room to help mold himself into a dominant linebacker. On Thursday's episode, we learn about the importance of awareness and diagnosing plays at the linebacker position.
One, you teach the concept, right? Like, what are we doing in cover three? What are we doing in cover two? What are we doing in field eight, right? Like, what is my alignment, right? Am I on a 30, right? Am I over on a 50? Like, where am I? Where's the depth, right? Like, okay, are my toes at 4.5, right? Do I have a hard time seeing, right? Some guys want to be closer to the line than others. Right, like all those different things go into my alignment. Okay, what is my assignment, right? Okay, field A, I got safety coming down. All right, so I got to be over the top on a weak side, you know, ISO. Or I'm going to hit this one in the B gap and I'm spilling it to my safety, okay? Where is my match, right? I'm pushing hard to three, okay? Like, where is three? Okay, alignment and assignment. Then you got your alerts, which is the game. That's the game, right? So now I'm like, okay, we got one back, one gap. I got 3-by-1. Where's my cover? Be a fast tight end or a slow tight end, right? Can I fit this gap, right? So where do I need to move over? Do I need a boss over, do a plus one? Do I need to deepen up because I got my three guy now is like a Wes Welker type, you know? And I'm a, you know, average speed linebacker. Well, guess what? Now I know down and distance, right? So part of that alignment assignment alerts, down in distance, where are they trying to go? Where are my sticks? All of that then is processed in that bucket, right? Alignment, assignment, alerts, and adjustments, that's where my adjustments come in. Okay, now they're in 3-by-1. They motion over to 2-by-2, or they motion a guy back into the backfield. I already knew that he was coming back in, so I didn't have to boss over, right? Because I know their splits. Adjust. Running back's at 6 yards. Okay, I can deepen up. I think it's a pass. All right, I'm blitzing now. All right, every time I've watched this center, he's popping his head up. Now I can time my blitz. Where does my depth have to be for me to hit this blitz on time so A.J. Hawk can wrap around and be a clean hitter, right? Like, all those things are processed, rapid, you know, split-second type stuff. But I'm going through that process, and I go through that process in spring ball and in fall camp and during the season. And guess what? On game day, boom, it's rapid fire, right? But that's my mental process where I'm going to find my alerts and adjustment. And everything can be based off of that. You know, I just think I really learned that when I was playing for Tress and D'Antonio and Jim Haycock and Luke Fickell. But it's something that I've always carried with me. And it's so true in business. Like, all right, what's my standard operating procedure? What happens if a pad breaks? What happens, you know, where are my adjustments? What am I alert to? Is there somebody else that could potentially copy what I'm doing? Right? How am I negating that? Right? Who are key partnerships that I want to have? Right? How do I adjust off that? You know, all those things go together, and it's just something that you can also translate to other things besides football. But it's a great way of teaching concepts.
To close out the month of January, we listened to the University of Tennessee's head football coach, Jeremy Pruitt, as he gave his address at the 2019 USA Football National Conference. Coach Pruitt highlighted the importance of promoting the game of football by focusing on properly educating players. From youth football all the way up to the college ball, it is important for coaches to make sure the whole community is aware of proper techniques.
To me, one of the most important things that we have to do, and everybody sitting in this room can be involved in it, is number one, we have to promote our game. We have to promote our game. It's an opportunity for a lot of folks that don't have another way out. And you would be shocked how many times that I go into a home or go into a school and I talk to a prospect and they talk about their first experience as a football player. And lots of times it wasn't very good. There's a kid I'm recruiting right now. He's only played 1 year of football in the last 5 years. He played when he was 9 years old. He played when he was nine, said he was never gonna play again. He's back out now and he's probably one of the best players in the country. So if you're a youth coach, you're a junior high coach, you're a high school coach, you want to be involved at the earliest age that you possibly can and help them have a great experience, okay? Because one thing about football, it's a developmental game. You know, I have a three-year-old, all right? We can shoot hoops, we can throw the ball, we can hit a golf ball, we can hit a baseball. We don't line up and do tackling drills in the living room at three, okay? We don't backpedal at three. We don't put our hand in the dirt and learn how to strike blockers at three. There's lots of things about football that's developmental. You've got to learn over time. So it's easy to go shoot the basketball. Everybody likes to do that. It's easy to stand up there on the mound and pitch it or get on the track and run. But some of the parts about football, there's so much developmental, it's hard to get guys excited about it. So getting them into the game, teaching them the proper way. I think safety right now across the country and our game, we've got to protect our game. Well, the best way to do it is to promote it and teach our guys how to do things the right way. You know, I'm sitting here, I probably in the last, I don't know, 60 days, I've probably watched at least 1,000 football players, okay? And lots of times you will see guys that have really good toughness, okay? If I'm evaluating a defensive back, okay, the guy's got great ball skills, he can run, you know, and he plays with really good toughness. But the one thing about it, there's no telling how many times I've written down on our eval sheets, this guy's gonna hurt himself, okay? And he's gonna have problems with concussions. Because his head's down, his eyes are down all the time in contact. He leads with his head. We go all the way back to when I was coaching at Hoover High School. I was the defensive coordinator for 2 years at Hoover. We coached our kids from the high school level all the way down to the Pop Warner level. Okay, we coached our coaches. The biggest thing in tackling, is you have to keep your head out of it, okay? And most of the time when I talk to our guys, I don't even mention their head. What I talk about is their eyes. You want to keep your eyes up, okay? That's the first thing. Keep your eyes up. Your eyes up, your chest up, okay? Eyes up, chest up, near leg. We always said club up, grab cloth, and step on their toes, okay? Try to keep the head completely out of it. And you would be shocked. We spent this last spring at the University of Tennessee going back and teaching fundamentals of how to tackle. Just how to tackle the proper way. How to strike blockers the proper way. And I think it's important that we do that, you know, all the way across, and it needs to start at the lowest level.
Thank you for tuning into the Coach and Coordinator Podcast. That'll do it for the weekly highlight show. Don't forget to like and subscribe our channel. We're on SoundCloud, Apple iTunes, Spotify, and pretty much anywhere else you listen to podcasts. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at FBDevCoach. That is FBDEV Coach. Thank you and have a wonderful weekend.